You are listening to BensTorah.com.
This topic is going to be a compilation of two or three different points that all relate to Hilchos Kosev, and each one is a very different kind of issue or concern, but all of them are halacha lemaisa in a sense. The three topics that we're going to talk about are making shapes of letters in the air with your fingers. I was just practicing with my son for his bar mitzvah, and I was waving my fingers like this and for like that to teach him how, you know, to tell him which is this trap or that trap. And is that like riding? Why should that be a problem? We'll see in a moment why it might be a problem. Then we'll talk about fever strips. If you know what a fever strip is, if you don't have a newfangled way of taking temperature, you could just have this fever strip which you put in somebody's mouth, and the strip either gets more colorful or some letters on it illuminate based on the amount of heat that it absorbs to determine if there's fever or not. Is that going to be permitted on Shabbos? And finally, fingerprinting. When a baby's born, if a person needs to sign a document and they don't want to actually write, so is it any better to use a fingerprint than to do a regular ksiva? Those are the three topics, one at a time. So the first one is writing letters in the air. So to appreciate why the shaila could exist, we have to begin with the Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Kuf Gimel Amud Aleph, that talks about the Av Melacha of Makkah B'Patish. And the Mishnah describes Makkah B'Patish as Hamakkah B'Kornas Al Hasadin. I think in English that you bang a something on the anvil, or you bang the anvil on
the hammer on the anvil.
So the Gemara says that that's a malacha. So if you have a hammer and you bang it against a glob of hard metal, what could possibly be a malacha about that? You're not changing anything, you're not doing anything, you're not accomplishing anything. Why would that be an av malacha of Makkah B'Patish? Asks the Gemara, Maika Ovid, Shabbos Kuf Gimel Amud Aleph. What are you doing? So the Gemara answers a fascinating answer. Mipnei Shema Amein Es Yadav. You are training. Yeah, you're practicing your hand. You're training your hand. Rashi explains that if you ever go golfing, you might notice that the golfers sometimes do a practice swing right next to the tee where their ball is to get the right swing, the right angle, the right, you know, strength. And then after that, then you go and do the same, the same motion on your ball, and hopefully it'll go exactly where you need to go under par. So the same thing is when you're dealing with delicate metals and delicate metal work, you don't want to ruin a delicate metal kli. So you have to know exactly how much strength to bang on your metal work. So to do that, you practice the strike of your hammer against this anvil, and then you train your hands. So it sounds like, from this Gemara, that the Av Malacha, the Chiyuv Skila of Makkah B'Patish, is doing what?
Practicing
with your hand to do a Malacha. Fascinating. Well, that's what we're going to jump on shortly. Continues the Gemara, says, no, come on, that's absurd. Ela Me'ata, if you tell me that practicing is a problem, so if you watch the roofer, or you watch the mechanic, you know, as he does his work, are you going to tell me that's also going to be considered malacha? El miyata chazu umanusa. You see a craftsman or an artisan b'shabbat v'gomra, and you learn. Hachanayim dechayev. Could you be chayev for sitting there and watching somebody and training by observing? Just because you train to do something, that should be a malacha? Rather, el abay v'rava damri shavai. They say, no, the problem with banging the hammer against the anvil is a real active malacha, not just by training, you're training yourself, because when they would bang out the foil sheets of metal in the Mishkan, this is how they would bang. Shekem rada de tase Mishkan osim kain, says Rashi on the bottom. When they wanted to cover the krushim, the beams of the Mishkan, with a sort of foil, a metal foil, a silver foil, actually literally silver, not like aluminum foil we use, but silver foil, they would bang like this. Rashi says, "Osim kein makin shlosh al atas va'achar al hasadin." They would go 1, 2, 3, 1. 1, 2, 3, 1. 1, 2, 3 on the anvil. I'm sorry, 1, 2, 3 on the foil to smooth it out, and 1 on the anvil. Why would they do that? For a very specific reason. Rashi says, "Lahachlik hakurnas," to flatten out the hammer, "shlo yivaka tas," so you don't break or pierce the foil, which is very dark, which is very thin. So in other words, the point of banging the hammer on the anvil, this is the conclusion of the Gemara, is that you're going to smooth out your tool. Smoothing out your tool so that it doesn't break anything, a delicate foil that you're working on, that's the av melacha. With this Gemara in mind, the Trumas Hadeshen asks the following question. And Siman Samach Gimel, the Trumas Hadeshen asks, Mishet Tzarech Lirmoz Be'etzba'o, somebody has to make a hint with his finger, V'halicha Ba'avir, to wave it in the air, Kein Ksivas Osios, Shari L'mabed Hachi B'Shabbos Alav. Are you allowed to wave your fingers in the air to say like, yes, or no? Are you allowed to do that? So it says the Trumas Hadeshen, Yiradiyash Lachich Shai, I think it's pretty obvious that it's mutter. Omnam, look at this Shabbosai. Echad mehagdolim Omar, that he has a Kabbalah from his Rebbeim that it's Asr, and he's wondering why should it, how could he have a Kabbalah from his Rebbeim that such an action, just waving your fingers in the air to form letters, how could that be Asr? Is that Ksiva? Look what he says. Mipnei shema amen es yodav bekach. Oh, that's the Gemara that we just learned. You're training your hands how to write the shape of the letters. You're training your fingers how to flow one after the other to write the osios. And after learning the words, we learned in the Gemara that we just mentioned above, that that's called makav patish. And that, presumably, the source for this obscure opinion, this Kabbalah from his Rebbeim, that it's going to be osir.
But that would only seem to be a problem for a sofer or a person who actually does writing. Nowadays, who uses a pen?
I think we're talking about a pen. Oh, who uses a pen?
Who uses a pen?
Yeah, so maybe this should be us, sir. Waving your fingers to practice.
I would say sign language. That would seem to be a much bigger problem.
So either way, I hear what you're saying.
But sign language, you have actual symbol. Actual symbol.
That would
not
be
simple.
Right.
Practice typing on a...
like this.
You're not training. I don't see that you're training when you do a lesson, because nobody uses
in the same way, when you take... In the same way you take that training swing when you golf, and the same way you take that training bang when you want to get the right... Did you ever nail in a picture into the wall? And you sort of practice the bang before you give the bang.
You actually use the hammer.
But you don't bang anything in.
That I agree with. But if you're going to say nowadays, where I could go months without using a pen.
Okay.
Months.
Okay.
Sorry.
I still... Okay. Either way, what bothers the Trumas Hadeshen is a much more fundamental, not a practical issue, but a shas issue. The Trumas Hadeshen says, give me a break. You're quoting a line from a Gemara, but wait a second. What line are you quoting from a Gemara? You're quoting a line from the Gemara that is the line that was rejected. Me'aminas yada was the hava amina, that maybe it's a problem to bang on the corners because you're training your hand, but that Gemara was rejected, and the Gemara concluded that no, you're flattening out the tool so it doesn't break your foil. And therefore, why are you basing your psak on a hava amina, which is clearly rejected? So therefore, it's definitely not going to be a problem. And he brings a raya that it should be mutter, go down to the narrower lines, to the indented lines, from an orzarua. You see from the context of from the orzarua, who's not really talking about this at all, but you see the diuk from an orzarua that's going to make it clearly mutter to make figures in the air. Because look at the orzarua that's quoted in my quotes, four lines before source number three. Says the orzarua, tzarech lizar shelo yichtov adam b'shabbos, look at the next three words, b'mashkin al hashochan. You have ketchup. You have a pile of ketchup, or somebody spilled some Coke in a puddle on a plastic tablecloth. So what do you want to do? You want to make some kind of figure, a picture of a heart, or you want to write your initials in that, in the ketchup. Says the Or Zarua, make sure you don't do that. Also, v'gam shelo yisartit be'etzbo, you shouldn't scratch with your fingers, k'mo osis b'shaz be'ofer nagov. If you have dirt on a, right, we spoke about this months ago, if you have a dirty car window, or frost even possibly, so you shouldn't scratch with your fingers into that dirt. Obimashkin, That's the Orz HaRuah. What do you see from that Orz HaRuah? What is he warning you to not do? Make sure you don't. Well, if the Isser was, even if there's no medium that you're writing on, even if there's no thing that you're shaping, you're just doing it in the air, let him say the biggest chiddush. Let him say you shouldn't even move your fingers in the air. Kavachomer, if it's actually imprinting it onto the frost or the dust or the Coke or the ketchup. That's the Trumas HaDeshen's proof. How come on, we have before us, Davka Ba'afar Nagav, you see it's only in dust or with the liquid, where your Rishumo is Nikar, where your imprint is at least, is there at least, Lefisha, at least temporarily, that's what's Asr Derabbanan. Of course, it's only Asr Derayis if it's permanent. But Ba'avir She'ein Rishumo Nikar, Ein Tzarech Li Zahar. It's totally Mutter. And again, what's fascinating is not the conclusion of the Trumas HaDeshen, we probably all assumed that all along, but this Kabbalah that this opinion had, Mir Abosav, that it was Asr, based on this Ma'amin Es Yadav. Right? Right, that's correct. When you do the Dan Tzvardei and you pour the wine, you can't make pictures in the wine. Let's just see this second aspect, Paskin L'Halach and the Mishnah Berurah. And the Shabura talks about this, there's a very long, there's actually a very little bit of, there's almost no Shulchan Aruch at all on all of Hilchas Kosev. We had 8 shiurim on it, or so, 6 shiurim on it. We've been doing it for 2 months, but if you open up a Shulchan Aruch, you'll see about 1.5 se'ifim. But there's a very long Mishnah Berurah. One very long Mishnah Berurah, and this is a part of this Mishnah Berurah, the very long Mishnah Berurah. And the Shabura sums up all of Hilchas Kosev and says, Eina Kosev Chayvat Shiyichto B'dover HaRoshem V'Omed. You only Chayv Da'oraisa if you make an imprint that stays. Kagon dio, v'shachar, shachar is coal, v'sikra, some red mark, some red ink. It's only if you write with something that is a permanent ink. V'chein einu chayvat shiyotov al davar shemiskayim haksav alav. And also the tablet upon which you write also has to be permanent. Kagon al or, v'kla, v'niyar, v'eitz, v'chayotze b'hem. But if you have something writing with ink that's not going to be permanent, or the writing with ink is on something, some tablet, some receiving surface that's not permanent, you write with ketchup, you write with Coke, or you take a pen and you write it on a leaf, then you're potter. Okay, that's just the background. And similarly, and this is the halacha that we want to know, that it's also Drabbanan, and that's part of Al-Asr. And similarly, the same would be regarding the Chiv Darais of Mochig. Chayin Ein HaMochig, Chayiv Adshim Chal Ksav HaOmed, Me'al Gabi Davar HaOmed. For Mochig to be also Daraisa, also you need it to be a permanent ink on a permanent standing tablet or surface. That's, of course, Lady Chiv Chatas. Fine, that's the end of this half, this third of the shiur. We've finished the first third of the shiur. Let's begin the next topic. The next topic are these fever strips. And this is a Shulchan Shlomo. Again, if there's anybody who wants to sponsor a volume of Shulchan Shlomo, or Shlomo Zalman's original writings, I had the opportunity to meet his nephew who is raising money to continue publishing Shlomo Zalman's Psakim in the set of Shulchan Shlomo, and you can contact me if you'd like to have the opportunity to meet him and have a chelik in this. But in Hebrew they called Gila'e Chom. What's the word Gila'e?
Discover.
To discover, to reveal. Things that reveal the fever. Fever detectors. That's a perfect word. Fever detectors. And if you don't know what it is, so he's going to describe it. Well, he's not going to describe it. So again, let's say you have a little plastic strip. Cheap plastic strip, it's disposable. It's like a disposable thermometer. It doesn't really tell you, too much, or it just tells you like a little bit, a low fever or a high fever. It tells you low, 98, 90.
Blood.
What?
But I give blood, I think they actually still use that.
Okay, it could be. It could be if you give blood, they'll just stick it under your tongue for a little while.
You don't have fever.
Okay. So what happens is if there's a certain amount of heat that it senses in your under your tongue, let's say 101 chas v'sham, person has fever, so then that heat will cause certain part of the strip to either glow, to change color, maybe some letters will or words will, start to glow or start to not burst out, but be legible. So it says the Rav Shlomo Zalman the following. These fever detectors, im yesh tzuras oso siman acher v'hem nikarim kfar lefnei Hashem, which let's say before you use this fever strip, it already has a like a light gray, you know, word that says, you know, low, medium, high fever. But it's in a light gray. And then if a person sticks it under their tongue, it will either, you know, become darker, or the next one will become darker, or the high fever will become darker. But if it's already recognized before the use, even if it's actually going to cause a change of color during the medida, during the measuring. That would be mutter. But if you're making it already, if you make something that was not visible, to make it actually appear, there are no letters there. And when you put it in your mouth and it appears, you're making that letter appear, that's going to be aser. Now why is it so? He explains. When you have such a fever detector, where there's already a little bit of visibility to those letters, I'm not worried that it becomes darker or becomes another color. Now, before we continue, we have to keep in mind something that we really haven't spoken about at all in the past 2 months of our discussions of Kosev. And that is a separate Av Malacha called Tzavea. Kosev means writing. Tzavea means coloring. Painting. If I take a wall that's blue and I paint the entire wall gray, nobody could say I made a shape, nobody could say I made a design, nobody could say I made a letter. I just painted the wall that was yellow, now it's blue. That's a different av malacha of tzaveya. So maybe that should be an issue. So after the underlined line, it's not going to be a problem like regular ksiva. Why? First of all, it doesn't stay, therefore Yisur Avadei Lav Min HaTorah. It's not Osu Doraisa, because it doesn't stay. Ein Lach Shosh Bezeh Lich Kosev, Kemen Shakol Kfar Hoya Kodem. So first of all, even what you did do doesn't stay. And besides that, what was there before you started? There was already an imprint there beforehand. V'lo Hosev Klom, I underline, V'hashinei Hu Rak Be'atzeva. So, as far as Kosev is concerned, it's definitely not a Doraisa because it's temporary. And even that which might be a problem because it's temporary was already written there beforehand. So that's going to be mutter in terms of Kosev. You have like a double whammy, as the Shlomo Zalman is saying. Something that's only Durabanan plus it was already there, it's just going dark, that's okay. What about the fact that it's changing color, is that a problem with Tzaveya? Mishum Tzaveya Gamkein Nireh. Since it's so temporary, and he quotes a Rambam that says what? Mistaver, even though the Rambam says that if you would paint, that it would be considered tzaveya. When is tzaveya considered tzaveya? When you take, when you add paint, right, when you're adding something, you're putting something on top of what you had before. You're not just transforming something, something changing from within itself to become a different color. So even if you hold that, you know, changing the color, coloring a letter is a malacha called tzaveya, not just kosev, but a malacha called tzaveya, but that's only if you're adding the paint. If it just changes on its own, lachem is tarer, watch what he says now. He says, it's not a mutter, lachatchil, he says, to kemish zele tzorech olek tzas, to shaper mutter afilu midrabbanan. It will be mutter, entirely mutter, if it's at least for a tzorech of a cholah. So if you just wanted to, you know, if you like your kugel at like 99.5 degrees, you probably shouldn't put the fever strip into the kugel to make sure it's 99.5 degrees. If you like taking a bath, I don't know, on Shabbos you shouldn't be taking baths, but you know, you hear stories about these abusive husbands who require that when they get home Friday afternoon, their shower, their bath, whatever, is at the perfect temperature. Rabbanim, when you get trained for, you know, domestic abuse, you hear stories like this. It has to be a certain temperature. You know, okay, if you're doing that on Shabbos, other problems. So. But if it's Rechol HaKtas, so whatever concern there might be, that Rav Shlomo Zalman is mat. Okay, that was an interesting little topic, and that's the end of that topic. We finished the first two of the three topics. Now we'll finish with one more topic, and that's, we'll talk about it for a little bit longer, but it's also just also a little short topic. Thank you, Ephraim. And that is fingerprinting. If you have a baby in a hospital nowadays, then right when the baby's born, the second baby comes out, literally within seconds or minutes of the baby's birth, they take the you're an OBG, right?
Footprints.
They take the baby's foot or fingers or something, foot, and they stick it in ink and they stamp it onto the the paper that says that connects the baby with the mother. So we can identify the baby. Very important, right? Very important, the doctor says. Okay, doctor, let's say you're in Eretz Yisrael, right? Is it so important that you do it on Shabbos?
Yeah. What do you take to Eretz Yisrael?
Why? Because
Eretz
Yisrael, everyone's Jewish. You're working on Shabbos in Eretz Yisrael, and the Jews are, let's just talk about Jews, it makes life easier. Is it so important that you'd be Michal Shabbos to do? Whose life are you saving?
The mother.
You are listening to BensTorah.com.
You're saying you're going to freak her. She'll be freaked out. She's going to be holding the baby. So instead of doing that, just let her hold the baby from now till the end of Shabbos. Right. Nobody says you have to send it to the nursery because you want to.
Usually you have to do checks on babies.
So do it right there. Do the Apgar in front of the mother. Do the Apgar in front of the mother. Clean the baby in front of the mother. Why do you have to? Because you want to, not get anyone, to have your own privacy when you're doing your things. Therefore, you should violate that. Well, we'll have to see. Is this a malacha d'oraisa are we talking about? What's at risk? You're saying it's important to have. Yes, we all agree. Is it so important that you'd be mamish, you'd be violating this d'oraisa to do?
Who's always the d'oraisa? Who's violating?
Well, the baby's definitely not. It's the nurse or the doctor, whoever takes the foot and stamps it.
In order for what? Why is it the d'oraisa?
Let's see. That's the question. Now let's talk about the issues. The first issue, which is really not the issue, because when we're talking about a fingerprint, we're not really talking about writing on the body. We're really talking about a fingerprint is usually using the body to write onto paper. But let's talk about what's the issue with writing on your body. Is that malacha d'oraisa? I think we had once before. We mentioned the Rambam. Look at this Rambam. Look how strongly the Rambam writes. The Rambam is really just quoting a Gemara. Hakosiv al Bistaro. I think, did I ever tell you the story? I was with Chanoch Teller in Los Angeles. He was Meshadech, my chavrus, my roommate in YU. He's in Chashuv Talmud Chacham in Eretz Yisrael right now. And the Shabbos Shevbrochs was in Los Angeles. And he was there. And he was at the Shabbos Shevbrochs. But once Chanoch Teller is in a city, he of course is going to go on a well, speaking engagements. So apparently that part of Los Angeles, I don't know if there wasn't an Arab, if he didn't want to use the Arab, I don't remember all the details. He was going to some synagogue somewhere in Los Angeles or some house on Shabbos afternoon. And he doesn't know the city, the map, and he can't carry a map. So what did he do? So as an experienced lecturer in not necessarily Arab-bound towns, he showed me, he smiled at me, said, Uri, you want to see something funny? He lifts up his jacket. And what does he have on his under his sleeve? He wrote the directions on his arm, under his sleeve. It was such a smart idea, great idea. You know, like we used to do, we wanted to cheat on tests, under our watch or whatever, under the sleeve. So, of course, he didn't try it on Friday. So, if you want to write on Shabbos, what's the status? Of course, you're not supposed to do it, but if you write on skin, on flesh, is that a problem? Of course, the Rambam quotes the Gemara, Zok the Rambam, Halacha Tes Zayin and Hilchas something in towards the end of Hilchas Shabbos. Hakosil al Besaro Chayev. If you write on your flesh, you are Chayev Doraisa, you're Chayev Skila, Chayev Kares. Mipreshu are Afal Pisha Chamimus Besaro. Again, biologically, we could question what the word Chamimus Besaro means, but even though the heat of the body, Ma'veres Haksav La'achazma, did you ever notice that even if you, by mistake, write, get some ink on your hand, and you're nervous, and you screw out and rub it off, it's just not really coming off. 3 weeks later, it's never there. Why is that?
Sweat.
Because your body continuously
sheds. Okay, so that's what the Rama means by chamimus besarim averes haksav. So even though that's the case, And therefore you might think that it's going to be not permanent. Says Rama, no, no, no. That's called permanent. It's just that the body's, whatever it's doing, what the body's process is like it's erasing something that was written, something permanent that was written. Meaning when we talk about permanent writing, we don't mean that it was written with a permanent marker as opposed to a pencil. If you write a pen with a pencil, it's permanent. You're right, it could be erased. But that's a different maisa mechika.
So the way I think we explained it then was that if chas v'shalom you write it on, let's say, a dead person, then it's not going anywhere.
It's not
going
to stay there, so it's permanent. Is that, okay.
It is permanent. The fact that some sort of process happened.
Very good.
The afterwards go ahead and erase it doesn't make the writing that you did not permanent.
Very good. So while we're talking about writing on flesh and on skin, this happens a lot. If you take the kids to an amusement park on Chol HaMoed, they stamp your hand when you leave so you could go back in, and then Chol HaMoed, a day later, is Yontif. So Yontif, all of a sudden you're doing Netilas Yadayim all the time because you have this suit and that suit and that suit that you want, and it doesn't look nice. You're taking your kid to Shul, and they're walking around with their stamp on their hand. So you say, rub it off. Or maybe you're worried about it being Chatzitz of Netilas Yadayim, is it or is it not? I don't know. Uh-oh. That's actually going to be Mochek. Since we're saying that's a real ksav, to remove it from your flesh will be a real mechika.
If it's a real ksav, then you can't do it on a Holomite pizza.
Sorry?
If it's a real ksav, you can't do it on a Holomite pizza.
No, it's not a tattoo. It's not a ksav ka, which the pasuk prohibits of a tattoo. Just writing on your hand. Oh, a stamp. A stamp is okay, I think. A stamp on Holomite. First of all, you're not doing it. The guy at the booth is doing it. And even if you're at... Well, that's, I don't think that's not a problem. That's not a problem. It's a different kind. Holomite malachas are different than Shabbos malachas. That's just for Holomite shir, not for now. But it's a different type of malacha. So therefore, first of all, I just gathered a few halachas relating to this. It is not considered a chatzitza because it's not palpable. There's no mamashis. It's just flush with the skin. So it's not considered a chatzitza. You could leave it there for netilas yadayim. And the only problem is, if you just pour water on it, that will make it erase. That will taka be an issue. You can't do netilas yadayim if it's going to erase.
That would also mean you didn't take a shower before you have it. So that's a different issue altogether.
And if you do wash it, if you do wash your hands and you have this stamp, you have to make sure you don't dry your hands with a towel or a paper towel that will possibly rub it off. Something to be aware of. Okay, but that was talking about writing onto skin. Now let's talk about our main issue, which is going to be taking the finger or the baby's foot, dipping it in ink, and putting it on a piece of paper. Now let me just tell you why this could really come. First of all, it comes up when babies are born and you're in the maternity ward. Another place where it could come up is the following. Let's say, for whatever reason, you are required to sign your name on Shabbos. You have to sign your name. You're not going to sign your name. That's Chil Shabbos. So is it better if you say, you know what, I'll tell the guy, be it the person in the hospital who's making you, you know, in order to be released, you have to sign these papers. You want to get out of jail, but you have to sign these papers. Is somebody you did say, I don't know, they're holding you responsible to sign something on Shabbos? You're never going to sign. You say, I'll give you something better than my signature. What could be better than your signature? Well, signature, somebody could forge. What can't be forged? Say, I'll just give you my fingerprint. Let me not have to sign my name, I'll give you my fingerprint. Oh, taka. Maybe that's a good idea if it's more calm. If it's mutter, only drabanan, maybe certain situations will be matir for drabanans. That's the question. Look at the Rugged Shaver in his very short words. Al das hatovel etzbo, al dvar hatovel etzbo bidyo, v'chosim ba'aniyar, v'tor chasima. He uses it as a signature. Hanikra, what is it called in Yiddish?
Fingerdrick.
A fingerdrick. That's a fingerprint. So what does he say? He says, im ha'os, if you're going to do it, if a way that will stay will be Asur Doraisa. Fine, Bukov Kosev. And then he points out something interesting. If in the fourth lesson, it was Zeh Ein Nafka Mina, Bein Bi Amina Bei O Bismol. Wow. We know that when you write, sometimes there's a difference between your right and your left hand. Says Ragu Chavra, a svar that we mentioned, we bandied about numerous times, to Bechol Dover Shemoil Leha Pu'ula Ein Nafka Mina Lanu. I think what he means is, if it doesn't result in any different appearance, it just was done in a different way, like you press the elevator button with your you know, your left hand, that doesn't make any difference because you got to floor 12 or floor 1 the same whether you pressed it with your right hand or your left hand, just because you did it in a different way. So he holds, Raga Chavar holds, that it's taka going to be a melacha d'oraisa. But let's finish off with something that's a little bit local. Sometimes we have Dr. Fink, who's the son-in-law of Rabbi Greenblatt from Memphis, Tennessee. So Rabbi Ephraim Greenblatt in Memphis, Tennessee, had the following shaila sent to the Chelkis Yaakov. The Chelkis Yaakov was Rabbi Yaakov Breisch, I believe, in Switzerland. He lived, I think he lived through the war. Tremendous Chatam Chacham. And here he asks, we can go through the tshuva. Ha'im yesh iser b'tfias etzbaos b'shabbos. In a case where you need to, we need to sign for whatever reason. Says the Chelkis Yaakov in note Aleph, chas v'shalom arkein, and it's going to be an iser, a real iser. Question is, what kind of iser will be? Will be an iser d'orais, an iser d'rabbanon. I'm going to skip the bottom of that page, turn to the last page. Let me ask you a question. In order to be d'orais, how many letters do you have to write?
Two.
What has you write one letter?
You're not chayav.
So you're not chayav, that's the best way to say it. The Chazal said it perfectly. Is it also d'orais? It might be also d'orais because of chatzishir, also in HaTorah. Yeah. But barring that, the way the Chazal said, but you're still not going to be chayav. So, let me ask you a question, Rabbi Osai. This is a great question. Is a fingerprint going to make you chayav?
It's a shear because it's not a
barrier. It's like a barrier. It's like a barrier that's not a chayav.
It's a picture.
Whole barrier.
It's a picture,
it's
not a letter,
therefore
it goes on in the
picture.
That's right, a dog, right? Yeah. Rabbosai, can I ask you a question? What exactly is the picture? It's not a picture of your finger, it's a picture of a bunch of
squiggly lines.
But
that squiggly line means something.
Yeah, okay, fine.
So that means something.
Is that considered a fingerprint, and therefore we could say maybe it's a singular and it's not chayav, or are we going to say it's squiggly lines, and there are numerous squiggly lines, and there's at least two squiggly lines, and therefore you should be chayav?
Because you can say that there's two lines in every letter. And you write an aleph, it's three lines. So is that
you? So that's the first issue. The second issue is, what's the status of making marks as opposed to letters? That point is actually machlokas in the Mishnah that we learned, I don't know, like 2 months ago. The Mishnah says, even without ksavivri. Well, that's ksavivri is still a letter.
Oh, it's one letter only.
So the Mishnah says hakosev shtei osios. Mishnah says hakosev shtei osios. You have to write two letters. Comes Rabbi Yossi, I think it's Rabbi Yossi. I don't know if it's Rabbi Yossi or Rabbi Yehuda. In the Mishnah, I think it's Rabbi Yossi, and he says, Afilu shtei rishimos, thank you. Even if you write two rishimos, and he says, just like we had by the Mishkan, they would make markings to know which keresh is adjoined, adjacent to which keresh. I don't know, I thought maybe there were letters there. Apparently no, they were just markings. So, first of all, you have to figure out who do you paskin like. Do we paskin like markings are also going to be us? Because everyone would agree, I think we'd all agree, that a fingerprint is not a letter. It's certainly not two letters. When it comes to a rishima, a mark, then we could discuss, is it a mark? Well, one mark might not be sufficient. Maybe you have to have two marks. Or maybe it is two marks, because maybe we could consider it a lot of numerous squiggles all put in at the same time by your dipping your finger after putting in the ink, to pushing it onto the paper. Now I'll ask you another question. The din that you have to have two letters, maybe it's only if you do one letter and then another letter, that's when you're chayav, but if you do two letters simultaneously, that wouldn't be a violation? That wouldn't be considered two letters? Again, maybe the Torah, the Mishnah says you're only chayav if you do two letters. So it means you do one letter, then another letter. If you do two letters simultaneously...
Like a stamp.
Exactly. That's one ma'isa. Maybe that's not called a Maisa Ksiva. Maisa Ksiva is a, there's a succession, there's a progression, there's a development. There's a something is from A to B to C.
One letter Kuf, which is a ratio and a...
Is one letter.
But it's the same.
Exactly.
It's a ratio of upper ratio and it's the same.
So what do we see from that? I'm not sure where to go from
that. It's not that it's the two letters. It's not a question of two movements of a hand or...
Is kosei vlavdavka, that's the shaila. Is kosei vlavdavka, do I have to do a maisa? One maisa, I can do two letters.
That's really the question, partly the question.
It seems that would take care of it.
So Rav Yaakov Breisch has a gewaldige raya that you might have, once you see it, said, yeah, I remember that Gemara. Look at the underlined line in the middle of page 4. You know the Gemara that talks about Bar Kamtzar, not Bar Kamtza, Bar Kamtzar, that he was a gifted... He was a gifted sofer, and he had a way of writing his Sifrei Torah, his mezuzahs were the best of the best, because he was able to write four letters, Yud Kei Vav Kei, all in one fell swoop, all simultaneously. And the Gemara says, that's Gevaldig. What do you see? You see that not only is that Ksiva, that's considered a high form of Ksiva. That's for like a Hidrin Ksiva. So it's, you see from that, that even if you do multiple writing simultaneously, it's a Gevaldig proof. If you do multiple writing simultaneously, that could be. So if you have lots of squiggles, you push your finger down, you have 10 squiggles. They're all simultaneous. Yeah, but simultaneous is not any less of a Ksiva. Maybe it's even more. It's certainly at least as good a Ksiva. And therefore, based on this and other Cheshbonos, it comes out that, of course, it's definitely going to be a concern. A Cheshash is the Deraisa. He says, why might not be. He says, we might not really paskin, like that opinion of Rabbi Yossi, who says that Rishamim, that marks are also a problem. Could be only letters are a problem. So therefore, might not be an Issa Deraisa. But he says that's only according to one. But there are others that say that we do pass like Rabbi, that even if you make a design, it will be an Issa Deraisa. Therefore, he says it's a question if it would be an Issa Deraisa. He doesn't see it is, because we might pass in that indeed you have to write letters only and not markings. But Halach L'maisi comes out that it's at least a Safek Deraisa, and therefore it should be avoided. So therefore, Halach L'maisa, if we are an OBG in Eretz Yisrael, we really have to see what the post-Kumun Eretz Yisrael say. It's not, the problem is it's not a Maisa Pikuach Nefesh. That's really the issue. You know, if it's a Maisa Pikuach Nefesh, you're doing something and treating the woman who just gave birth, okay, you can do whatever you need to do with whatever equipment and electric, and that's fine. But here, the baby's born, mother's fine, baby's fine, you want to protect whatever you want to protect, so for that you're allowed to install an alarm system on Shabbos? Because you want to be safe? No. So why should you be allowed to install an alarm system on this baby?
The alarm systems, for example, on stairways in hospitals exist now.
Under, right.
Because of stolen babies.
Agreed.
Okay.
No, I'm not saying it's good to steal babies.
No,
but you love to follow Shabbos.
Really?
You know, I'm being recorded.
You've got some kids. However, you've got some kids. Should they turn off that alarm?
Okay, so at least if there's an alarm system on the stairway, that's a more lenient situation, because there it's not a direct maisa. I'm doing a maisa, we'll call that misasik. I'm walking downstairs, I'm walking upstairs. There ends up being an alarm that goes off. So it could be a psikration, maybe it's even less than a psikration. But here, I'm taking the baby's foot, I'm taking an ink pad, I'm sticking it on purpose. That's a daraisa with kavana. That's a chiyus kila. Yeah, I don't think it might be. I think it. That's what this question is.
Yeah.
It's at least a suffix of daraisa, and therefore, what? I don't know. We have to see what the poskim say. We have to look at the contemporary manuals and answer in the hospitals.
I'm sure there are ways of doing it so that there are other systems protecting.
Yeah, there are other systems that might not be daraisa violations. I'd rather put an electric band on the kid's leg than that will automatically lock the doors than do this. So we have to find out. Shari Tzedek Hospital is a halachic hospital. Kiryat Sanz in Netanya is a halachic hospital. We have to find the Mayanei Yeshua in Bnei Brak. Does anyone have any connections there? We're going to have to find out from one of those hospitals. Please do. What the policy, what the protocol is when a Jew is born. And
we have a lot of people going there for the
Yachi Kala.
Stop is in the hospital.
Very good. So that will be there. That will be the question.
You have been listening to a presentation of BensTorah.com.